Good afternoon, and welcome to the Spring 2011 Retail Marketing Virtual Conference and Expo presented by Retail Online Integration. I'm Joe Keenan, Senior Editor of Retail Online Integration. I'm pleased to welcome you to another great live session, Mobile Opportunities from Apps to M-Commerce, sponsored by Neustar. Before we get started, let me point out a few tips on how to make the most of today's live presentation. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help button at the bottom of the console or let us know via the Ask a Question box. To get a PDF version of the slide presentation for future reference, click on the Download Slides button on the console. If you'd like to submit a question to our speakers today, you may do so at any point during this presentation by using the Ask a Question box. I'll do my best to get everyone's questions in the allotted time. If you leave this session at any time or would like to view it again later, you can access the entire presentation from the auditorium in the Retail Marketing Virtual Conference and Expo on-demand environment, which will be open for 3 months beginning on Monday, April 18th. Finally, I encourage you to tweet about this event today. Please use hashtag RMV11 when doing so. Here today to offer their thoughts and expert advice on why mobile needs to become part of your marketing mix, as well as how to make that goal a reality, are Michael Becker, North America Managing Director for the Mobile Marketing Association, a global nonprofit trade association representing all players in the mobile marketing value chain, Tim Engel, Senior Vice President of Strategy at Jewelry Television, a cross-channel retailer of fine jewelry and gemstones, and Chris Duncan, Vice President of Direct Marketing for Office Max, the national retailer of office supplies, office furniture, and all types of office technology. Without further ado, I'd like to pass it over to Michael to get things started.
Hi there. Thank you very much. I'm really excited about this topic and opportunity and looking forward to having the ability to share with you some ideas and thoughts around mobile and where the market's going. With that in mind, let's just jump right in. One of the things that we want to emphasize is that mobile, it's really big. I mean, mobile is becoming an incredibly big deal in the marketplace today, and there's a lot of reasons why. And what I hope to do is spend the next couple of minutes conveying you that sentiment to you and showing you an idea as to what we can do in terms of getting involved with mobile. And so when we think about mobile being big and mobile being a really big deal, I'd like to share with you an analogy that I often use when explaining what's going on in marketing today. As you can see on the slide, there's this picture of two rivers that are converging. And what you're seeing here is a satellite picture of the Amazon. And in the Amazon, what's happening is you have this rich coffee-colored river, the Amazon River, and it meets at a tributary with the Rio Negro, this really black, dark river filled with all of this organic material coming up out of the jungle. And when the two rivers meet, what's really fascinating about this phenomenon, what's going on in the Amazon, is called the meeting of waters. When the two rivers meet, they don't actually merge. And in fact, the two rivers are coexisting in the same riverbed for nearly 4 miles. The reason why when they meet and they don't merge is because when they meet at different temperatures, different speeds, and different densities. And that's the exact same thing that's going on in marketing today. You have the traditional marketing activities, point of sale display, print, television, radio, newspapers, magazines, et cetera, traditional marketing activities that have met with the digital marketing activities and all of these rich media concepts that we can use to engage and interact with consumers. And the two rivers of marketing have met, but yet they've not yet merged. And they've not merged for a lot of different reasons, different behavioral aspects of consumers, different types of devices and how you access the experiences, the ways we measure and monetize those experiences. There's just a ton of different activities that we need to be aware of and what's going on. And the reason why mobile is so critical to your understanding and building it into your marketing, it really needs to become that indispensable part of your marketing mix. And it's so critical because mobile is the one piece that coexists on both sides of the rivers. And that mobile has 8 unique media paths, the messaging paths, SMS, MMS, and email, voice, browsing, downloading, the proximity channels, content itself, all of these rich media data channels that can be used to interact with the consumer in a real-time and engaging way. That's kind of the digital side of mobile. but also as you see in traditional print and traditional marketing, traditional media, and in retail. I can mobile enhance my traditional media by putting mobile call to action and invite consumers to pull out their phone and engage me. And mobile is that one medium that coexists on both sides and will eventually bring the rivers of digital and traditional marketing back together into one unified picture. And let's talk about some of the drivers that are driving that. If we think about it from a retail perspective, ABI research says that about by 2015, $119 billion of goods and services will be sold through mobile via the e-commerce channel. That's about 8% in terms of mobile, in terms of overall e-commerce will be attributed to mobile commerce, i.e. the conducting of a transaction through the mobile device by 2015. And if you want to look at that, too, there's other numbers around that. Now, Booz Allen will report that that number will be around 2 to 7 billion in the North American market alone that will be conducted in M-commerce or mobile commerce between now and, say, 2014 on an annual basis. And that kind of using the mobile device to conduct commerce, to engage consumers, is happening across all market sectors, electronics, apparel, music, grocery and food, housewares, books, et cetera. So mobile is playing a huge role in the enablement and engaging with consumers on that digital path. However, there's this other transaction, that traditional media river that I wanted to talk to you a little bit about. And there's some really good, interesting insights from Google and the Kelsey Group, where Google tells us that one out of three searches from consumers or queries via their mobile device is for local intent. What consumers are looking for is they're searching for locations near them, they're searching for friends, they want to call a business, they want to find a store, they want to get directions. What they're doing is they're starting to use mobile to make an informed purchase decision, either through consumer-initiated activities such as search or their response to, say, a mobile web browser or other types of activity that drives consumer into retail. To give some more insight and thoughts around that, there's some research that tells us that consumers are using their smartphones, their mobile devices, or a certain class of mobile device, to compare products or services, to find that store near them, to check for discounts, to read reviews of products. Often they'll be reading reviews of products right when they're standing right there in your store. They'll be pulling out their phone and engaging in interacting, leveraging their mobile device within that traditional retail environment to make an informed purchase decision. There was a 2010 Booz Allen report that actually comes back and reinforces that point, too, and they tell us that 10 to 15% of all bricks and mortar and e-commerce sales will be influenced by mobile in 2011 alone. I thought that, and that influence, it's influencing $155 to $230 billion in sales in the United States in 2011. So again, mobile has this element of engaging consumers directly for commerce, but also is influencing that traditional retail commerce sale. Steve Madden, an apparel company, has a really great insights on this as well. Last year, they optimized their mobile web presence. They created an optimized mobile website so that when people came to the their store via the mobile device, they were given a good experience. And within 6 months of doing that, they had over $500,000 in direct sales through mobile. But what they were also able to track is they estimate that they had about $2.5 million to $3 million in additional sales through mobile and influenced sales in their traditional channels. And you can read the statistics here on the site as well, but you'll see that, you know, consumers are spending a lot more active time within the program. So this idea of engaging consumers directly through mobile and influencing consumers to drive them through traditional is really important. Now, some of the mechanics of how you go about doing that, I'm going to give you some examples right now. Mobile advertising is a great way to do it. When consumers are in a mobile environment, they're looking at mobile websites, they're initiating search, they're within an application, you can do mobile advertising by placing your paid promotional message within mobile media and drive traffic to retail. This is a great case study that shows how Ace Hardware did that in partnership with Microsoft Advertising, and they actually saw increased click-through traffic and an increased store traffic of over 8% as associated and driven by this mobile advertising program. Similarly, we're seeing that from, and that's a national example, we're seeing similar mobile programs coming from companies like Ware, or Point, or AT&T Interactive, the hyper-local marketing programs that are actually allowing local individual pizza shops, for example, to get involved in doing local-enabled advertising. I just saw a really interesting program on a local basis where Ware powered a program with Halls. And what they did is they targeted those regions where there was high influx of flu, and they were actually able to increase the response to those ads by over 60% by hyper-target local engagement within the programs. Other aspects that you want to think about is, for instance, what Best Buy is doing. So, for example, when I walk into store, you'll see mobile call to actions right at the point of sale that are inviting consumers to pull out their phone, text, and or dial to get more information about our product and service. That's an example of what a retailer is doing. Now, retailers in combination with their manufacturers are also doing more as well. So, for example, Hewlett-Packard is now in the process of putting 2D barcodes on their packaging so that people can actually scan the code on the package to learn more about the product and service before they buy it. And you're going to start seeing codes in package, too. So manufacturers are then using the mobile device for post-sale support and engagement as well. I'd also encourage you, if you want to see some other stellar examples of how to embrace, engage, and use mobile and retail, is check out what Wakefern and ShopRite are doing with their mobile loyalty programs that are engaging mobile at point of sale. Or what Hewlett-Packard and other leading brands around the country are doing when they're working with companies like ShopKick, these mobile loyalty programs where when they walk into the store will beep, the phone will beep. I can start getting engaged with the store and the brand and getting loyalty points and other types of what they call kickbucks in the program. Every time I scan a product within store, I can get engaged more and more with the program. Really powerful aspects of what's happening with mobile and how mobile is being integrated with retail. You're seeing other players that are enabling that too. Companies like Modiv that actually can provide you complete end-to-end solutions from the point somebody walks in to actually checkout, tied together with your loyalty programs to be able to enable in-store, in-retail consumer engagement. And then there are other capabilities, too, that are in market that are supporting your ability to do it as well, such as, for instance, companies from like Retelligence, who are actually pulling together all of the location data of where the products and goods and services are actually on the shelves within your stores. So then consumers can use that location information to navigate themselves around the store, tie that with other mobile commerce and engagement solutions that we've been discussing and have to have very, very powerful and relevant and real-time value delivered to the consumer. That's also supported by other players like MDOT, which is another mobile couponing, mobile commerce enablement program that's working with a number of different retailers. And one of the biggest challenges with mobile, and what's exciting is some other new technologies that are coming down the pike, are enabling the redemption at traditional point of sale, at traditional point of sale scanners. Often, too, many traditional scanners have difficulty reading the displays of the phones. And so we're seeing a lot of new technology, such as this technology from a company called Mobeam, that's actually enabling the point-of-sale display in your retail store to read the LED on the phone. They can actually beam the code out of the phone to the scanner that you have in your retail environment and redeem that loyalty card, that loyalty point, or that discount code with no change at all to your existing point-of-sale system. So this gives you a tremendous amount of ideas of how mobile is coming together. It's bridging traditional and retail media. It's tying together your ability to engage the consumer pre-going into the store, while you're going into the store, and then after the store. And so now what I'd like to do is to kind of hand it off to my colleague here on the talk that can give you really concrete examples from a brand's perspective of how this is happening in real life and how they've built strategies to enable rich consumer engagement through mobile. So, Tim, you want to take it from here?
Yeah, thanks, Michael. I appreciate that. My focus on the call, I'm sure there may be several of you out there that are still working at how to start your process of what do I do, what do I need to do, and I'm going to focus on that part of the equation. I'm not going to really get into, after we launched what happened. I'm going to focus on a lot of pre-launch activities, things that we had to consider and that moved us to do the right thing. So hopefully you'll find that helpful. It's interesting that Pete Townsend 40 years ago was probably a prophet, and I'm a Who fan, and when I was thinking about this presentation, this line came up to me, because when we were thinking about how we wanted mobile to interact with our customer, we truly wanted our customer to be able to shop wherever they were, whether they were in home, whether they were on the road, anywhere, on their terms, the way they wanted to. And that's how we viewed kind of going into this process, making it a successful mobile platform for our customers, because we truly understood that it needed to be integrated across all our platforms and that we had a cross-channel or multi-channel experience that our customer was satisfied with. So what was the decision point for Jewelry Television? I mean, put another way, What was our big bang moment where we woke up and said, my gosh, we've got to do something? And for me, it was May of 2010, just almost a year ago, where I was at a conference where the head of technology for PayPal, Osama Biedler, was giving a presentation, and he was showing these charts that were kind of striking, and he was talking about how electricity took decades, if not centuries, to really gravitate to most of the population, and then you look at desktops and how long it took for that, and then you look at the mobile curve, and it was like it's a wake up call. I mean, when you think about how fast mobile and smartphones are being adopted by the consumer, it's quite startling. And then when you look at numbers like this, where you see an enormous amount of devices out there, not only currently, but in the next few years, it's significant. I think it underlies a lot of what Michael was talking about. And the difference with a mobile device is it's really, it's a much different experience. It's very personal. No one would argue that your web behaviors are something that you take with you all the time. But a cell phone or a smartphone is something you have with you all the time. And frankly, most people get more upset if they lose their cell phone versus losing their wallet nowadays. So I walked out of that conference with just got smacked upside the head with a 2x4, and I said, this train is moving, and we need to get on it, because up to that point in time, we were doing nothing in the mobile space. So what I walked away with as part of that discussion was, number one, what does it mean to mobilize our website? What's it going to take? And then secondly, which was really a second separate question, is there an app for that? I mean, do we need to worry about apps? And I'm going to show you kind of how we went through that process and the decisions we ultimately made. But before I do that, just to help you put it into context of the decisions we were making, Jewelry Television has been around for a little while. We're a TV shopping network predominantly, and are viewed in over 80 million households. So we're kind of like a QVC HSN, if you've seen those before, except the difference is we're the largest pure jewelry television retailer in the United States. We are the largest retailer of loose gemstones in the world, so education and content becomes a really important aspect of what we do. We're one of the top 10 jewelry retailers in the U.S., the fourth largest retailer of jewelry on the web. So we have a very significant web property in JTV.com that has a lot of customers and, nearly a million customers out there. Now, if you look at our situational assessment at the time, JTV.com was primarily, it was a web destination. We didn't do really anything other than it is our primary web destination where you could go interact with our product and our show hosts and our TV shopping aspect of our business. We switched to a demandware platform in 2009, and that's really important for some of the other things I'm going to mention later. And we were kind of a homegrown, home-built system and switched over to demandware in 2009, which helped accelerate our strategy. Web sales represent almost 30% of our company sales, so it's grown to be a substantial aspect of our business. 90% of our audience is female. Now, what's interesting is they're ranging in ages from 40 to 65, so it's not what you would expect necessarily of being, quote, the first in on smartphone or mobile enablement, but we've actually shown that that's not necessarily the case. In other words, don't judge your customers. Let them make the decisions themselves at the end of the day. 50,000 SKUs, a lot of product. We wanted to make sure that inventory was integrated across all platforms. Heavy video production. We're live 24/7, only closed for Christmas, so we create a lot of video. Customer ratings, and as I mentioned, mobile execution was absolutely non-existent in 2010. So, what was the building process for us? Well, when I got back, I engaged our team, and the thing I knew, knowing the culture of our company, is I knew it wouldn't be successful if we didn't have full buy-in by the entire enterprise. If this became just a web, kind of a web thing or a marketing thing, it would not work. If you look at some charts I got from Forrester Research, this shows that who owns, typically you could say, okay, who's going to own our mobile strategy? Well, typically it's either going to be the web group e-commerce team, or it's going to be marketing or the chief merchandising officer. And you know, I wouldn't disagree with this in ultimately in the operating aspect of it, but when you look at building your web strategy, I would strongly encourage you to incorporate everybody on this pie, and that's what we did. We actually created a team and to build this support, and so what we did is we created a mobile strategy team that was led by a very strong influencer in the company. It just so happens this individual was in e-commerce, but he could have been anywhere, and Brian was just a guy that we identified as someone that could really be a strong influencer, understood the technology and the value, and could communicate it clearly. So he chaired the team, but it was represented by all functions, broadcast, shipping, merchandising, technology, you name it. We had probably about, I think, seven people on the team, and I happened to be the senior executive champion to make sure that they got the resources and the priority that they need. And what this team did was establish the priorities of what we felt was important for our customer. The other thing that I think is a key consideration that sometimes gets overlooked is don't underestimate your existing skill and talent pool. Remember, you have, for many companies out there that may have good in-house skills, you have a lot of people that are working in your organization that aren't doing mobile, especially if you're not doing it, but they're really into it. They get it. It's just not, quote, part of their job. So don't judge your ability to do something based on what people are doing today. Base it on what they can do. For us, this was a huge leap. We had people who were just really excited about getting on the, quote, mobile team. And frankly, it became a talent retention opportunity for us because they really felt like they were the cutting edge and they weren't doing the same old, same old. So this was a big win for us, we felt. And then the last comment I would make with regard to your talent is ownership is a wonderful thing. If you give people the ability to own it and do this, you will be surprised, if not just shocked, by how much gets done with very little resources. I mean, people will do and prioritize what they love to do. And we found that you may have some real diamonds in the rough in your own companies that can actually take ownership of this. Because I know a lot of the discussions that you have get into, do you outsource or in-house? And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Some of the key considerations that we looked at, another key consideration was mobile versus app. Do I need to do one versus the other? Should I do both? And from my perspective, in terms of communicating it to your companies, really your initial focus will dictate your decision. You need to determine how you think your customer is going to interact with you. For instance, part of it is a mobile website can be more challenging for you, predominantly because it has enterprise implications. Now, I'm sure every one of your companies have what we call here as a technology roadmap, which is basically a prioritization of what IT can and cannot work on. And many of we retailers kind of have to get in that line of technology because it's not unlimited resources. So from a mobile perspective, one of the things I would encourage you to do is look at what it would take to actually implement a mobile website. And I differ that from an app because a mobile website, if you go to JTV, if you're looking, any of you guys right now are on your iPhone or an Android, if you go to JTV.com, you will not get my traditional website. You will get a mobile execution of that website. So that's what I mean by a mobile website. Now, the app side is interesting because the app is probably easier to outsource because it can really be done in its own world, if you will, if you want to get out there quickly. But it really needs to reflect the personality of your company. Just because you have a good website doesn't entitle you to a good mobile experience. And you need to make sure that the mobile platform takes into account the personality of your company, but also recognizes that it is a mobile device and not a desktop website. And what we found with our app development, and we developed both an Android and an iPhone app that you can download for free, what we found is it allowed us to do some out-of-the-box stuff that we really couldn't do even at our website, because we were constricted by some enterprise issues. But at the end of the day, we made a decision to do both. So we launched with mobile first, and one reason we did it is because Demandware allowed that to be a much easier process than not. And then several months later, I think in December, we launched with both an Android and an iPhone app. A timeline. This is the key consideration. How quickly do you want to launch? You know, you need to evaluate this. A lot of this is going to be based on evaluating your level of commitment. Providing time for a soft launch. We had a two-month off soft launch, for example. We actually sent emails out to some of our key customers and let them play with it before we launched it to the broader audience to make sure we had taken into account all of the things that the customers wanted. And I would encourage you to make timelines secondary. You know, I came out of Boston kind of freaked out that we're way behind, but the reality is, you know, you're really not. If you haven't started yet, don't allow the timeline to dictate the end result. For instance, if you would rather commit the resources and time to do an app, I would encourage you to do that, or to do that, because if you do it fast and outsource it, as an example, you may find that in 6 months to a year later, you're going to redo it. And that's not productive for anyone. So, and the last thing I would mention is focus on the two E's, experience and execution. Take advantage of the resources you have and the experiences you have in-house, and then take the time to execute it well. And that's all going to be based on your level of commitment that you get within the company. I think, well, if you were to ask me what was the single most important thing that we faced in getting a viable, enriching mobile experience up, I would tell you it was to get company-wide commitment. If your merchandising team's not on it, doesn't matter what you launch. If your marketing team's not going to communicate to your customers, doesn't matter what you launch. If your technology team's not going to be behind it, it doesn't matter. So you need to really focus on getting that commitment first. The other thing I would mention, and this is my last slide, and I'll turn it over, but the other thing I'd mention is budget. I mean, everybody talks about budget. You got to justify mobile on vision. You can't allow immediate financial impacts to judge whether you do it or not. In other words, you know, get your CMO to help you with your CFO. I mean, this is one of those things where you're not going to be able to show immediate financial returns that you might show in other core business initiatives. So don't let that keep you from doing it. The other thing I would encourage you is frugal budgets can work. I mean, I would encourage you to go to our mobile site and our Android or iPhone app and, you know, look at it and tell me what you think. I mean, so we did both of those, all of that, for less than $100,000. And a lot of that was done because we just got our in-house talent to do it. And let me tell you something. They worked overtime. They worked on weekends to do it because they were genuinely excited about being on that team. And then the other thing I'd mention, it's not how much you spend. It's what you put into it. So, don't let the budget dictate a lot of the decisions on this. I don't think you have to have $1 million budget to launch something that would work for your company. And certainly don't allow the budget to compromise your vision. Figure it out, get creative, and make it work. But those are my comments. Just as an ending comment, I would tell you that in less than 2.5 months, we probably downloaded over 45,000 apps. We mobile sales account for 6% of our total web sales, and that's happened in the last 2.5 months. So it can work for you, and it can create, I think, a very interesting business model, even financial model for you if you do it right. So with that said, I will turn it over to Chris.
Thanks, Tim. I'm going to add on to what Tim and Michael have talked about and talk about how OfficeMax has approached mobile and how we've rolled some mobile things out. I'm going to say a little bit about our company and how mobile has fit in, and then give you some concrete examples. I've got three of them, actually, that I think will be helpful to see how we've rolled mobile functionality out to our corporation and also our customers. So just a little background on OfficeMax. We do over $7 billion in sales and have 30,000 associates. We have 900 retail stores and 25,000 products. even more online. We've launched several of our own exclusive brands. We have U.S. and international operations and a full suite of business services, so we do print and some tech services. And we serve everyone from consumers to Fortune 100 companies, so everyone from parents and kids at back to school up to large companies like Boeing. So a very complex organization, and as you can probably imagine, mobile can fit in a lot of those different areas, and so it was quite an interesting task to figure out how we should start getting into mobile. But we really started, mobile, we felt, is the future. We have more and more mobile devices, out in the marketplace, and I think some of the charts you saw earlier on show that there's just explosive growth in the mobile space, with not only devices but new technologies and apps. And so we really feel it's the future, and it's more and more how people want to engage and interact with us. So we had three kind of principles. We wanted to do something now, as our competition and other, retailers and other companies in the space were starting to test stuff. We wanted to get into that space too, so we wanted to do something now and do it quickly, but also learn and improve. So we launched a lot of stuff knowing that, it may not have been perfect, but we wanted to get stuff out there and really start getting customer feedback and have gotten some of that that helps chart our path forward. We also wanted to pursue a broad spectrum of activities. I'm going to talk about how we've divided up all the different technologies and kind of organized our thoughts and our approach, but there's a lot of different technologies out there with mobile, and we wanted to start testing all of those things and see how they could impact our customers and our business. So overall, our mobile strategy, we approached it very similar to we approach a lot of our marketing initiatives. We wanted to focus on a specific group of customers. With our mobile app, and I'll get into it on the next slides, we started with our best customers, our loyalty program. So really starting on a specific group of customers or addressing a specific customer need. And one of my examples, our mobile website, we'll talk a little bit how we address specific customer needs and what they were looking for from us. The third piece was creating or enhancing current capabilities. So, don't try and create something new or something you're not great at, but really enhance something you're really good at or a core competence that you have. And for us, marketing 101, these are pretty basic things, but don't lose sight of them as you try and jump into the mobile space. It can be daunting, but really get focused on kind of the basics as you get into it. So as I'd mentioned, we wanted to, approach mobile in a lot of different ways, and there are a lot of different technologies out there. And this is how we split up the mobile technologies. I'm not saying it's the only answer or the perfect answer. It's just how we divided things up as we started looking at different initiatives and how to allocate resources and dollars. So the first piece was mobile apps. I think you're all familiar with that. But we are looking to develop apps for not just our retail stores, but we have a large business, what we call our contract business for our large customers like a Boeing. We're looking for how mobile apps can fit into all of those spaces, so not just our retail stores. The second piece was mobile websites. And so we have, obviously, if you go to officemax.com, you'll go to our website. We also have several other web properties, though. And what we found out is, our customers are accessing all of our websites on mobile devices. So, having a plan and a strategy for handling those customers and the demand, but really having a mobile website plan as part of your regular release schedule for your web properties. The third piece is mobile in store, and this is one that is probably the most complex and the most most depth in terms of technology, but everything from people scanning products in your stores to wanting to pay with mobile devices. Even going as far as scanning and buying right there in the aisle, those are all technologies that are out there today, and that are coming. We don't have a lot of things developed yet, but it's certainly something we're looking at and will always be kind of considerate of as these new technologies arise. The fourth piece is text messaging and SMS, and I think this is one we've gotten into pretty aggressively. This is one that's pretty easy to get started in. It's an example I have later in the deck that we'll talk a little bit more about. But everything from offers to alert notifications, things, you know, a great example is what Walgreens has done as you drop off a prescription, they can text you when your prescription is ready, right? It doesn't always have to be promotional. It can address a customer need or a customer demand. So, but something easy to get into and easy to get set up and start growing with. The fifth piece is mobile advertising. A little bit talked about this earlier by Tim and Michael. Something we're starting to get into, but some great opportunities here to get really targeted, location-based. You know, mobile search is obviously a growing area and an important area that we're focused on, and we'll be investing dollars in there. So that's the fifth piece. And the sixth one is kind of an internal use. So how are we using mobile technology internally? With our sales associates, with our store associates, with our field sales reps, and, you know, how are we utilizing mobile technology to pass information, to share and collaborate? And it's something we're looking at as a way to enhance our sales ability, but also utilize technology in a better way. So my first example on mobile apps, and it's really to engage customers and drive traffic. As I said, you know, we really focused on our loyalty members and our loyalty customers in the Max Perks program. That's our rewards program. And this app, as you can see here, has kind of four key areas, weekly deals, the Max Perks portion, getting alerts in a holiday zone. And really what we did here is we really wanted to engage customers. So we have frequently updated promotions. So we leveraged our weekly circular and really update these every week. We tied into our existing ads, so not to have additional work or additional costs, really tying into what we're already doing. We have really aggressive good offers already, so we just kind of plugged into that. The second piece is on the Max Perks. You can sign in or log in, sign up or log in, and you have basically real-time access to our Max Perks Rewards program. And I'll show some examples of that on the next couple of slides, where we really invested in the technology. The third one is acquiring customers to receive alerts. So this is SMS and email. So we utilize the app as a way to not only bring functionality and promotions to customers, but also for us as a way to acquire emails and SMS to enhance our email marketing and our SMS marketing program. And the fourth piece there is a seasonal area that can change. We change it and rotate it, but really can tie in with our broader advertising campaign. So not only does it tie in and integrate with our broader advertising, but it also allows us to kind of continually update and keep customers and consumers coming back into the app and engaged in the app. So on the next page, I just want to jump into a little more detail on the deals. As you can see, if you click on the weekly deals, you'll go into a category-specific area. So we start getting focused on loyalty-specific offers, and we can rotate these and target these more appropriately. We also have app-only offers, so we kind of create a sense of exclusivity. We can have these only show up in the app, and it's a great way that we felt we could drive traffic and exclusivity through the app. We also have category sorting, which matches our website, so we try to keep the experience consistent and match our website. And we also have the flexibility to add and remove categories offers. So if something's not being clicked on or we don't like it, we can pull that out easily, and it won't impact what we're doing on our website. On the next slide, this really shows kind of our focus on our best customers and accessing our rewards program. So as I mentioned, you can kind of get near real-time access. You can log in, and with our rewards program, you can access recent or frequent transactions. You can see what you bought last time. We had customers who were in store, that might say, I bought, an ink and toner cartridge last time, but I can't remember what the item number was. They can look it up right on their phone and access that information on their mobile device. So we felt like great utility and a great way for engagement of our customers and our rewards program. And then the last picture there is a sample of the reward cards. You can actually real-time redemption of the reward cards right at the POS and make your purchase right from your phone. The next example is on our mobile website. Several years ago, we found we were getting a ton of traffic from mobile devices, and we really weren't optimized to handle that traffic. So we developed this and worked really quickly to get this up for our holiday season. And while we don't have a huge, significant amount of sales coming through, our traffic is very significant. We provide easy access to, all things Office Max. So store locator, our weekly ad, we can do product research. You can buy from it if you want, but again, it's more of a research device. So customers were wanting to research, so we developed this to address that customer need. We can learn about customer behaviors and tendencies. We've got analytics so we can track through here. We can look at, what people are shopping for and what to promote. And if you go to our site today, this picture is actually a site that's getting ready to roll out this week, and it's not on there today, but it's a newer version of our site that we're really excited about. But, really a great way to adapt to the increasing mobile customer and really optimizing for how they want to engage with us. The third example I want to talk to you about is text messaging. So, as I said, text messaging is a great way to get started into mobile. It's a pretty easy way to get started. We've broken it up into kind of four areas. Acquisition, that's an important piece. We're doing some contests. We're doing integrating into existing marketing, whether it's email, in-store, that sort of thing. So that's one area we've broken into. Secondly is promotion. So we've, pushing out promotions and events that we do through text messaging is something we're going to continue to do. Mobile couponing is something we've done successfully already. The third piece is services. I gave you the Walgreens example. We're taking some of that same functionality and integrating to our business, whether you want to pick up an order or you have to get a notification whether something's ready in our store. We're utilizing that same functionality. And then the last piece is loyalty, and this is a much more complex area. But with our loyalty program, we can alert people, when the rewards are ready, when the rewards are going to expire, remind them, or even potentially sign up for our program via text message. So we've kind of broke it up into those four areas. And I've got some examples on the next slide, just some text message examples of the way we've engaged customers and driven traffic. We've got two examples, our Black Friday bonus coupons and an event we did back in December, we call our Friends and Family event. We push these offers out and allow customers that they want to continue to get more. They just hit they respond with more, and we will continue to send them offers. But we've got coupons and things like that. And as I had said, using SMS not just for offers, but when you submit a print job with us and we do some printing or copying for you, notifying people when that's ready. And we're actually doing that now in some certain test markets. I don't have an example picture of it here, but we are starting to do that in a test method. So I'm almost done here, but a couple of important considerations. Don't treat mobile as a different channel, but as an alternative way for customers to access you. I think, don't try and dictate ways for customers to engage, but they are engaging. They are going to engage with mobile. So you have to be ready and be able to address that demand. Also, I think Tim hit on this as well. Remember to stay focused. Look at your customers. Focus on a specific customer group or a customer segment. Or a specific customer need, or a specific capability that you have as a company. Stay focused on those. Don't try and boil the ocean. Don't try and use mobile to do everything. The third piece is, really have a plan and stick to it. I think, Tim said this, I've said this, you don't need a huge budget to begin working on mobile initiatives. You can get started pretty cost effectively in certain areas but put that plan together and really stick to it. Don't allow that plan to broaden or have any scope creep. And then fourth, get ready, because I think more is on the way. I think Michael's presentation showed just the growth that mobile devices are having in different technologies. But things like mobile payment, enhanced barcode scanning, the 2D barcodes and QR codes, in-aisle checkout, and even things like augmented reality, those are all becoming mainstream, and it'll be here sooner than you think. So start putting those things out there and putting them on your plan and your roadmap. With that, I'm going to turn it back over to Joe. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Chris. We've covered a great deal amount of content here on the mobile space. Have time for a couple questions from the audience, so I'll just jump right in here. The first question I have is, how much of mobile marketing is discount offer based? And the attendee wants to know what other types of loyalty program strategies are working in the mobile space.
Yeah, I mean, you'll see a lot in the popular press about, you know, coupons and offers and promotion, the use of mobile as promotion, and that's really kind of where a lot of it started. But more and more we're seeing the use of mobile for customer care, for retention, for the sharing of real-time information that's of value to the consumer, social media enablement, mobile advertising to acquire and activate and reach new customers. So it's you know, the promotional and discount offer is a tactic and a very important one, but there's much more to it than just that.
Yeah, this is Chris Duncan in the Thought Process. I'll add into that. I think, you know, certainly promotions are always going to be part of mobile, and certainly it's a part of our SMS strategy. But what we've tried to do is not let, you know, mobile become like email. I think email has become so pervasive, and, you know, pushing text alerts and SMS messages onto a mobile device is even more personal. So while it's always going to be part of somebody's plan, we don't want it to be the only thing, and we want to make sure we bring function, utility, which is why we've tied our loyalty program into it, and we'll do things like reward reminders and reward alerts and, you know, redemption from your phone and things like that as a part of our strategy. You know, promotion can't be the only thing.
Great. The next question I have here from the audience is, what are the considerations a brand should factor in when deciding whether to build a native app or a web app?
I can jump in there just to get us started. I mean, it's your budget, your clients, your reach. You know, if you're concerned about kind of reach and you know, and budgetary concerns, you start with mobile web first because that gets you the broadest reach across the most number of handsets. But if you really understand your – and it also talks about the kind of experience that you want to get, because mobile apps today can have a much more richer and interactive experience in some ways than mobile web. There is definitely a merge where mobile web will become more app-like in the future. But today, just like the Steve Madden example, you get much broader reach via mobile web. And then mobile apps are very focused and can be a richer experience. But you're only building for the one particular device platform like an iPhone or an Android when you're going the app strategy.
Yeah, and this is Chris Duncan again. I think, you know, to add on to that, we kind of took on both. You know, obviously we had a lot of consumers and customers engaging with us on our mobile website, but we felt we could bring, you know, some unique functionality with our rewards program to a mobile app. So we went ahead and did that, and fortunately had the budget to do it. If you're budget constrained, you know, I think it really comes down to, you know, where are your customers going to engage with you the most, and it, can you bring something unique to an app? I think if your app is just going to be a replication of a mobile web, I would certainly start with the mobile web first.
Totally agree.
Next question I have here from the attendee is, what technology should someone look for when they're beginning to optimize their website for mobile devices?
What do you guys want to grab that? Go ahead.
I think from a technology standpoint, we were driven a couple different directions because of the products we sell. So as we've gone and developed mobile apps, and we've developed them for iPhone as well as Droid, and are even working on some BlackBerry products because we carry some of those products. So what we didn't want to do was roll out to a certain platform, let's say iPhone, and not do a Droid app, but we carry Droid phones. It just wouldn't be a good experience for consumers. So some of the products we carry and some of the businesses we do drove some of our technology decisions and what we went to.
Okay. Next, I have an attendee that wanted to know if there was any suggestions for using mobile as a tool to drive traffic to their online store. You guys have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it depends. If you have a bricks and mortar environment too, you can do mobile enablement of your point of sale displays and the posters and the environment that you have there. Likewise, if you do any email marketing, you can include mobile call to action that introduces and invite people to go to the online store. And then mobile advertising can be an incredibly effective tool to drive people to mobile to the online environment as well.
Yeah, certainly mobile advertising, I think, can help. I also think if you're solely an online company, things like alerts, SMS, or even through an app, daily deals and things like that, we've tried, I think, have been pretty successful. Also, limited time deals, so for 2 hours only, those types of things. And I think what it's allowed OfficeMax to do is also promote things we may not carry in store, but promote them through a mobile device that we only carry this online, or we've got a special thing going online. Come there and visit us.
Okay, great. We're just about out of time then. I want to take this opportunity on behalf of Retail Online Integration to thank everyone again for attending this virtual conference and expo session. I'd also like to again thank our session sponsor, Neustar. I encourage all attendees to check out Neustar's recent white paper on this topic, Driving Sales with Mobile, How Retailers Can Use SMS, which can be accessed in the networking lounge. If you're interested in discussing anything that you've heard during the presentation this afternoon, we encourage you to visit the networking lounge to chat live with other session attendees. Plus, please also check out the agenda for the rest of the day today. We have several wonderful sessions lined up, and I encourage you to view as many as you can. Remember, if you can't watch them live, add them to your briefcase and view at your convenience in the on-demand environment. Thanks again, and have a great day, everyone.